Hour number two, Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Tuesday. Continuing our football discussion with our absolute favorite. He is the head coach of the Innsworth Tigers and ESPN NFL analyst. Tim Hasselbeck is with us. Timmy, what's up?
What's up, guys? How you doing?
We're doing fantastic. A lot of discussion with Brian Callahan and all of that that we'll get to in a second. But I just want to lead it off with, you've now watched Cam Ward in a true NFL game. I thought there was, you know, obviously some growing pains, some good, some bad, but I thought overall that loss was not on him, and he looked decent.
Yeah, I agree with that, and I actually think, okay, let me think, see a couple of those balls that are going off of people's hands,
yeah,
you know, that you expect them to make. I actually think, I mean, I think it looks totally different. Look, I've said to you guys before, like, quarterback's a dependent position, so, like, you know, you are expecting guys to make plays. So, you know, it's no different than, you know, the game last night. Like, you're expecting guys to make certain plays. And so, like, you need that to happen when you throw the football. You just do. You know, so I think when you see some of the stuff, you know, from the game, you know, against the Broncos, you go, like, there is the ball going off of guys' hands a decent amount. And I think back to something I said to you guys, you know, during the preseason, was that, like, you got to make the plays. I mean, remember the throw he makes? I think it was Van Jefferson, maybe, who dropped the football.
Yes.
Like, you need to make those plays, because, like, that's the difference between feeling like, oh my gosh, what an amazing throw! Like, that's going to end up on a, you know, a SportsCenter top 10. To, oh, you know, just missed that one. So, you know, I think that's a real. I think there was too many of those. I think there was probably at least four of those in the game. And, like, that's to me, that's a big deal.
100%. When you took the head coaching job at Innsworth, you brought your brother in to be the offensive coordinator. I assume he's the one calling plays. So why was that kind of your thought process? I know high school, NFL, a little bit of a different level. But we see, I think now there are 16 coaches, half the league, calling plays in the National Football League. Why did you make that decision, and how difficult is it truly to be the head coach and call plays?
Well, I mean, basically because I don't think he was coming if he wasn't calling the plays.
Good answer.
Actually, you know what's funny is that's actually not how it started out. How it started out was he was like, no, you call it. And that was originally the plan. And then the more I kind of thought about it, I was like, you know what? You get to focus on this. Like, you're up in the box. Like, you get to focus on it. Like, you do it. And I will tell you, like, I actually think that there's a lot that goes on in a game. Now, if I were calling plays, it would probably, you know, kind of change things that I do during a game. But I would think that the best scenario is the head coach not calling the game either offensively or defensively, just because of all the different things that happen in communication that needs to happen in a football game.
So why does, and I don't even know the answer, why does it work for Sean Payton and Andy Reid? Why does it work for those, and Kevin O'Connell? Why does it work for them?
I think that the guys that you named make a decision before the game. Well, I think there's a few things, but they all three of those guys script so much. So it's really just about, at that point, just picking the play off the sheet. Like, you know, like, hey, first, you know, third and 3 to 5, I'm calling this play. And so, like, you're going to it. It's not so much like decisions being made at that, you know, at that actual moment, where I think there's other people that feel like, look, we don't know what we're going to get. They may play us differently. And so what we're going to do is, you know, we're going to see how this is going as we call the game. The guys you mentioned, I think oftentimes it is like, you can ask them on Friday night, okay, the first third and 7, what are you calling? And it's like, it's this call, and that's what I'm calling. So I think, and, you know, I know Kevin O'Connell, but I don't know his process as much as, you know, I know about the other two coaches' process.
Right.
But it was brought up last night in the broadcast about how much he scripts and, you know, scripts calls. And, you know, my guess is that Aikman in the, you know, in the production meeting, you know, a similar conversation similar to this was probably had about, you know, how do you do it? And it's, you know, maybe it's along the lines of, look, we decide what those calls are, you know, on Friday night or Saturday.
You know, I was funny you brought that up. I was they showed Sean Payton on the sideline, Tim, calling a play, and he had his play calling whatever that was in front of him, and there were probably 200 plays on that thing, and it was like fine print, broken down. I'm thinking, what all is on there? And that's exactly what you're talking about. Every situation probably mapped out, planned out, scripted out, and he thinks instead of like, oh, what am I going to do here? He already knows.
Yeah, it's done. You decide it. And I was on and part of teams that's how they did it, and then there were times it was like, all right, you know, the first, third, and seven, like you could get – any of these three calls, you know, it's like, okay, well, that's different. You know what I mean? Because, you know, one of them might be a blitz beat, or one of them might be because, you know, you think you're getting two man. One might be, you know, because you're getting some, you know, three man rush. So, you know, a lot of it is, you know, just like, you know, what the play caller wants to do. But, you know, I think with, you know, especially when you think about coaches that have been doing it a long time, especially when you have a coach and a quarterback that have been together a long time, you know, I think your menu can be deeper, but what you can do is, you know, you just have the ability to be like, look, this is what we're doing. This is why I'm calling it. And, you know, the quarterback just expects it to come in. So, look, that would be how I would want to do it. You know, it's different. Like you said, you know, you know, Chase asked a question about high school and pro and all that stuff. Look, it's a limited time that you have, you know, at the high school level for sure versus at the pro level. You know, at the pro level, your menu can be, you know, so much more, you know, extensive because, look, it's their full-time job. You know, they're not taking, you know, calculus or biology during the day. And so, like, your menu of plays can be deeper. But and so you could get to something if you need to get to it, but that doesn't mean you still can't script out what you're going to do based on what you're expecting.
Interesting. How do you explain, Tim, or how frustrating is it when your star receiver can't catch a pass over the middle? And I lead that into saying, is this why preseason matters?
Yeah, look, I think preseason matters. I mean, like, you know, Terry McLaurin, you know, there's kind of a couple of missed opportunities with Terry McLaurin and Jaden Daniels. You know, Jaden Daniels, you know, by most accounts is, you know, potentially a guy that could be in the MVP conversation if he, you know, grows on what he did a year ago. And so now, you know, you take that and you say, okay, Terry McLaurin's been a true number one for years. Like, why were they out of sync? Like, look, it's easy to make the connection with training camp, missed opportunities, timings, you know, timing, things of that nature. And so, look, I think that the same holds true when you're talking about, you know, okay, a quarterback's not playing and it's his receiver and is there timing there? So, look, is it the reason for every drop or every miscommunication? No, but I think it's easy to connect the dots on them as well.
Tim Hasselbeck is with us. So one of the big things, obviously, we've been talking about was Brian Callahan elected not to challenge a catch by Alec Iomanner where his elbow comes down inbounds. Callahan admitted yesterday, sort of, he said that he had a misinterpretation of the rule. And then later on in the press conference, he said, no, I understand the rule. I just misspoke. It was pretty clear he didn't know that an elbow equaled 2 feet. Is that concerning for you for a second-year head coach?
Yeah, now I would say this, and like I've seen it, and it seems like it's definitely not been it's not been explained well. It would be shocking to me, like shocking to me that if he didn't know that. And so like, and I know he's since said like, no, I understand the rule. You know, you're getting me after the game, and I'm talking, and I don't know the whole context of the, you know, how he's answering the question immediately afterwards, if there was confusion with how it was asked or what they were asking him about why he didn't challenge it. I'd be shocked. Like, listen, any body part is equal to 2 feet. And I think that anybody that's been around the league, I think, knows that. That'd be a little bit like saying, like it's an obvious rule. I can't even think of one. You know what I'm saying? Like to me, it's shocking to me that, like, I honestly can't believe. I don't believe it. I think is what I'm how I'm trying to say it. So, look, I don't, and so I'm hesitant to be like he doesn't know that rule, because, like, let's just say, for example, he didn't know it, right? Which I don't think is the case. I don't believe that every other coach on that staff does not know that.
That's my
including thing. Anybody that's helping him in the box or anything like that. Like, right? I mean, I think that's one of those ones where it's like there's no shot. Like, to me, this is like you answered a question that you weren't being asked a little bit. Like, that's how I feel like this scenario. I mean, correct me if I've missed something about how somebody else has spoken about it, but, like, that's what it feels like to me.
No, and the other thing, too, is every head coach, and you just kind of alluded to this, has a guy that's up in the booth that, you know, can say, hey, you should challenge that, or no, don't challenge that, what have you. I mean, that's how it is pretty much for every team, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you always have help. You know what I mean? I mean, look, I have a coach on our staff that, you know, we're high school football, that, you know, for end of the game situations, you know, just so, like, as I'm there, you know, signaling a play in, that we could be like, wait a second, are we good? Are we positive that you know, they have one more timeout, but there's this much time on the clock. Like, are we good? So, yeah, these organizations that are extremely well-resourced, you know, typically have a math major from MIT, you know, that's in the box that is saying, look, like, you know, plus 37 yard line, fourth and one, like, look, the book says go for it here, you know, like, or we're going for two here. So, yeah, in this age of analytics, there's all kinds of support, you know, coming from, you know, extensions of your coaching staff, and 100% regarding the replays, because the head coach is only going to see what's on the video board. Whereas, you know, somebody that's in the booth is going to have the video board. They're going to have TV angles. Like, they're going to have a number of different things that they can look at to decide whether or not they're challenging a play.
We will have more with ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasselbeck coming up next here on Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game, continuing our conversation with Tim Hasselbeck, Innsworth football coach and ESPN NFL analyst. What did you think of J.J. McCarthy's NFL debut last night on Monday Night Football?
You know, I loved the resolve, you know, the response to you know, it not going perfectly early in the game, the score being the way that it was, and you know, the way that there was kind of a poise and a fight to him, that, you know, he seemed unshaken. And look, I think that's important, especially for a young guy who's getting an opportunity to play. You know, he's following a guy through 35 touchdowns last year for a team. You know, and so the expectations are high. It's a big stage on Monday Night Football, all that stuff. And so, yeah, I mean, it kind of leads me feel like this guy's made of the right stuff, because, like, there's going to be adversity, and then, you know, what is his response to it? How does he handle it? Like, I think, you know, throwing a pick six in that environment, falling behind, and then kind of fighting your way back through it, I think that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, and I felt like when Kevin O'Connell talked about it after the game, he was asked, was there a specific moment that you kind of saw it all click? And he didn't want to necessarily say the interception, but he pretty much said that that's when you could really see that he kind of grew in that moment.
Well, you know, it was almost like I'm watching his body language, and, you know, Kevin O'Connell came to talk to him, and, you know, it wasn't like this, like, oh, disappointed, I can't believe I did it, you know, like, hands on my head, like, oh. It was almost like, yeah, mm-hmm, yep, I saw it, I know what happened, you know, like, okay. Like, what's everyone making a big deal about this for? You know, like, that was kind of like how I was reading his body language. And sometimes it's hard, you know, to do that, you know, on TV. But, like, it was kind of like, like he was unfazed by it in a way of being like, yep, like why, like we're like, why is everyone acting like the game's over? It's not. So, okay, that's hard to do, and not everybody does it, you know? And so I do think there's an element, and I do think that it matters, you know, at times of this, like, yes, it's a guy's makeup, but I think sometimes too, if you just look at, his path, right? So, you know, an IMG quarterback with expectations insanely high, then you go to Michigan and, you know, you're fighting for time. You have to earn the, you know, your role there. And then you end up winning a national championship there, you know, in an offense that really isn't like fully dependent on you as a player. Like, I think that, I think that's like, I think you can get hardened by a path like that.
Tim, we're talking to Tim Hasselbeck on the Chasing Big Joe show. Is every play that you guys run in shotgun?
Oh, no, not us. No, we get under center for sure.
Because I ask, Chase knows this. No, I'm infuriated on fourth and one when a team runs from the shotgun. It happened to Middle Tennessee State on Saturday versus Wisconsin. I don't understand it because you get that line of time to push back. It just drives me insane. I don't know why they call that play because it hardly ever works.
Yeah. So, I've always believed that the quarterback should play under center and in shotgun. Like, I don't care where, you know, I mean, look, I'm doing it now. Like, it's, you know, we start off with guys under center. Like, that's what we do, even in a world of high school football where everybody's in the shotgun now. I would do the same thing if I was coaching college football. And I certainly would, you know, with, you know, in the pros. You know, Kyler Murray played more snaps under center last year than he had in the previous, you know, years of his pro career after playing no snaps under center in college. And he has a higher quarterback rating in those snaps from under center than he does, you know, otherwise. Like, it just, they're like there's a difference to it, but it's helpful. And then to your point about fourth and one, so I've always felt that way. I used to work with John Fox. So, you know, John Fox, you know, was an amazing defensive coordinator. And then, you know, a head coach of, you know, two different teams that he took to a Super Bowl. Like, he's one of, I think, four people or six people ever to take two different organizations to a Super Bowl. Like, he's a really, really good football coach, and he's a defensive-minded guy. Well, you know, talking to him about it, he's like, it makes no sense to me. The ball is oftentimes, you know, a half a yard, 2 feet from getting a first down. And the offense decides to move it 5 yards backwards before trying to get those 2 feet. He's like, it just, there's no logic to it whatsoever. And I just thought, you know, like, that's maybe the most basic way to say, like, what are you doing? You know, like, and I think at the time I was having the conversation with Jeff Saturday, and Jeff Saturday's like, "Who, you need a half a yard? Like, I can get you a half a yard before the ball snaps." You know what I mean? Like, I pick that thing up, slide it forward a little bit, adjust a little bit. Like, before you know it, like, you know, that 2 feet is now, you know, 4 inches that we need.
Oh, I love, you know, one of the great idioms about the NFL I always love from Bill Walsh. You know, Joe Montana never went out of the shotgun for one simple reason. You know what that was?
You had to take your eyes off the defense.
My man. And I've always loved that little bit of knowledge about Joe Montana and Bill Walsh because I find it fascinating in today's football that the way it was 30, 40 years ago.
Yeah, you have to see the, you know, you have to see the football to catch it, even peripherally. And so, you know, I think that, you know, one of the things that, you know, it's probably why, you know, I feel the way I do about it, which is, you know, the guy, and I've said this to you guys, the guy that, you know, coaching wise for me, just the best quarterback coach, I think, maybe ever, is Andy Reid. And, you know, Andy Reid, you know, is a disciple of Bill Walsh. Now, you know, because of different looks, you know, back in Bill Walsh's day, you know, some of the, you know, double A gap pressures and things like that, that could really mess up your pass protections. If the quarterback's under center, you know, have gotten teams to, you know, adapt to playing out of the shotgun more, you know, that stuff did not exist as much. You know, you think you go back to that era, you know, there weren't zone blitzes, you know, back, you know, kind of in that time. So, like, if you were bringing A-gap pressures and you had to play man, you know, it was different. You could slide protections and it wasn't a problem. Well, now it is. So, you know, you do have to be able to do both. But, yeah, I think that you can definitely see things a lot better, or at least quicker, when you're under center.
Oh, absolutely. All right, we got McCauley Friday night. They're pretty good, huh?
Is that right? Are they?
You're welcome.
I've heard that.
You know, it's funny. We had a JV game last night, and the referee asked me, he's like, "Who do you have this weekend?" I said, "We play McCauley. Like, do you know if they're any good?" And he like kind of he was like, he's like, you know, I would guess that they are. I'm like, "What do you mean you would guess? Like, they're defending state champs. Are you kidding me? Like they, you know, they're identifying kids in state and out of state that are proven players as juniors and all that stuff. Like, of course they're good." So, yeah, look, they're really well coached. They've got really good players. And, yeah, it's a huge challenge for us. We lost to them in the semifinals last year. You know, it was probably competitive for about three quarters, but the final score was, you know, was pretty tilted in their favor. So we know we've got a big challenge, and that's why we're coaching extra hard this week.
Love it. Good luck Friday night. Tim, appreciate it as always. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Sounds good. See you, fellas.
See ya. Tim Hasselbeck joining us here on the program, head coach of Innsworth and also ESPN NFL analyst, joins us every Tuesday at 1 o'clock.
So I'd like to get inside his noggin and just the knowledge he's got and everything. I love talking to him.
Oh, yeah. It has been fantastic. Coming up next, there is something that Big Joe
yes!
thinks the Titans should do, and I've actually seen it on Titans Twitter too.
So you know it's true and good.
And the rationale is, what do they got to lose?
Right.
We will discuss that coming up next. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game.